fragments. Fragments is what Pamela and I were able to see in terms of seeing and experiencing the ancient history of the Irish people, early Celtic Christianity there in Ireland, and in our trip. And in particular, one of the most preserved specimens of monastic life, of early Irish monastic life, was at the ruins of the great monastery Clonmacnoise in County Offaly, not very far from where we stayed in the center of Ireland. It was there at Clonmacnoise that St. Ciarán, one of the fathers of Irish monasticism, settled along the in a very strategic location along the Shannon River, a very pastoral setting there in central Ireland. And it thrived for many generations, but after many assaults, first by the Vikings, and then by the Anglo-Normans, and then finally by the English, 13 raids in all upon that monastery. And every time they rebuilt, but it was finally that last blow, that fatal blow by the English, that Clonmacnoise lay in ruins and would never be restored to her former glory. But there at Clonmacnoise are some of the finest examples of the Celtic high crosses, the carved ornate images, which really are an icon of Irish and Celtic Christianity. And as we went through the museum just prior to going out and venerating St. Ciarán's resting place, we saw the many fragments of grave slabs that had been brought in for preservation, many of them broken and just simply fragments. And it is these fragments that piece together a whole history. And not just there at Clonmacnoise, but in such things as the Book of Kells and in other places throughout Ireland, there is, in bringing together these historic fragments, these physical fragments of what was once a glorious past of the Irish, early Irish people in their Christian past, is a complete history of early Irish Christianity. Fragments coming together to make a whole. Our very Bible, the Word of God, is brought together in the same way. There's a lot of people think that the Bible, for instance, is just dropped out of heaven or something. We think that there's this pristine original copy of the Word of God. But the fact of the matter is, both in terms of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is what we have today as the Holy Bible is actually a bringing together a collection of ancient manuscripts, which are fragments. Whether it be the ancient papyri of the Dead Sea Scrolls, or on the vellum of the ancient codexes of the New Testament scriptures, there are these ancient manuscripts in all places and museums around the world. And it is in the church, it is the bringing together, the gathering together of the collective fragments by which we have been given the Holy Bible, the Word of God. It is the gathering of the fragments that brings about the whole. As we have passed the halfway point of our journey through Great Lent, we come today, and this text, by the way, is from John chapter 6, is the gospel reading in both the Eastern and the Western Rite of Holy Orthodoxy. But you see, as we approach Passion Tide, as we approach the passion, the suffering, the death, and burial of our Lord, we are confronted with this glorious reality of the feeding of the 5,000. And in there are these Passover themes. It says in John chapter 6 that the Passover was nigh. That is, the Passover was near. And so we have a context in which St. John is placing this story of the feeding of the 5,000 with the Passover. There's no mistaking what the significance of this. Jesus has been followed by a large crowd, a large multitude. And he says to Philip, asking him and testing him, he said, "Where should we get bread that these may eat?" Jesus was testing him. And he said, "Lord, not even 200 days' wages would be enough to give just a morsel for these people." But there was a little lad who had five barley loaves, inferior loaves, and two fishes. And they brought them to Jesus, and there he lifted them before God the Father. He gave thanks, he blessed them, and he distributed them. We see very unmistakably this Eucharistic offering of thanks, of blessing, of distributing, of partaking. And when they had all eaten, it says, St. John tells us it was 5,000 and 5,000 men in all. So with women and children, we have to believe that it was probably well over 10,000 people that had eaten. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Go and gather up the fragments. Gather up the fragments." And when they had done so, there were 12 baskets full. 12 baskets of fragments. And the church fathers teach us and tell us that this was significant because it meant that each of these disciples, who would later become the apostles, had become the bearers. The bearers of this great miracle, this Eucharistic miracle. They gathered these fragments. Why? To go into those towns and places that they were living in order to distribute, in order to feed the hungry. It was a gathering up of the fragments. In this picture that we see this morning, I believe as we continue in our journey towards Pascha, as we continue towards Passiontide, we begin to understand something in terms of Christ's ministry with respect to ours. First, we know, and it's clearly declared by St. Paul, that Christ is our Passover. Christ, our Passover, he says, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. So it is Christ who is revealing himself as the fulfillment of the Passover. The Passover, as him whose body would be broken, him who would suffer, him who would give himself to the world. There's another place in the Bible in which this word fragments is used in a similar context. And you got to go all the way back to the book of Leviticus. And it was as God was establishing sacrificial worship for the people of Israel. In the offering, the meat offering, God told Aaron and the priests that in giving the meat offering, they were to use with the meat unleavened bread, and that the meat was to be divided, to be literally fragmented. And so we see even in this, in the Old Testament, we see these images of Christ the Passover, Christ and the unleavened bread, Christ in being fractured, his body being fractured. And we begin to realize that is Christ our Passover, the Word in becoming flesh, is God himself entering our own fragmented lives and souls. You see, the other image here in this morning's gospel is that these fragments of bread, These fragments of bread are also representative of our own fragmented individual selves, our fragmented souls, the brokenness of our souls. You see, it wasn't until the disciples gathered together those fragments into one whole, into a basket, into a container, if you will, that they were then able to go out. You see, the Greek word for fragment literally means broken. It literally means broken. That is, there's the inference that it is incomplete. It is only partial. And so a lot of times, we as Christians, even as Orthodox Christians, we fail to acknowledge that we individually are but fragments. That in our fragmented souls, there is not one of us that is full of grace and truth. It is only Christ himself, as St. John tells us in his prologue, who is full of grace and truth. And so we often, in that individuality, particularly as it's exacerbated in our culture, our American culture of rugged individualism, we begin to make our own judgments, our own discernments about what truth is, about what the will of God is, or about how I might take the prescriptions of the church. But as we live this way, as we fail to recognize our own fragmentation of soul, as we fail to recognize the fact that we individually are not the body of Christ, then we fail to become the church. But it is only in the gathering together of you and you and you and you and me, the broken, the partial, the incomplete. It is only in that coming together, in the apostolic basket, that is the church, the ark of salvation, which is woven together with the holy mysteries of the church, with her canons, with her sacred traditions, with 2,000 years of patristic teachings, with the canons and the rules of the church that point the way to salvation. It is only as we are brought together in the context of the church that we become a collective whole, that we become the body of Christ in its fullness, not just a collection of broken pieces, but a unified whole in the church. You see, we need to continue to recognize this reality. As we push forward into the future that God is setting before us in decisions that are being made, as we discern God's will, as we try to listen to his voice, as we acknowledge that we have blown it in many, many ways, whether it's in our attendance at church, whether it's in keeping the rules of the fast, whether it's in failing to love one another as Christ has called us to love, whether it's in failing to forgive or whatever it is, it is by acknowledging our own fragmentation and then a coming together in submission, in apostolic submission, that we are then able to become a unified whole, discerning, hearing, perceiving the word of God, his will. His will for our lives, for our mission, as we begin to then experience that great truth, the great reality that the body of Christ is indeed full of grace and truth. Yesterday was the Feast of the Annunciation. It's a great feast of the church in which really, in many ways, is actually more significant even than the Nativity, than Christmas. Because it was in the Annunciation, that the Word became flesh. It was in the conception. But also, it's significant because Mary, the Theotokos, in saying yes to God and submitting fully to God, demonstrates in union with the Holy Spirit the perfect picture of our salvation. The synergy between human will, free human will, and God's will coming together. The synergeia, as we say in Orthodoxy. It is a picture of salvation in which the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And so today, we celebrate that fact. We also celebrate a coming of our newest member of the church who was baptized yesterday on the Feast of the Annunciation. Eric and Stephanie's youngest child, their son, their first son, our first grandson, Sean Eric, who was baptized Gabriel yesterday in commemoration of the day, the Feast of the Annunciation. Gabriel, the archangel, being the one visiting and announcing to Mary that great mystery of the Incarnation. But Sean Eric, as young as he is, as vulnerable as he is, as dependent as he is on his mother and father for his every need, is a person who has been washed in the regenerating waters, who has been sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has been brought into this apostolic basket. And while Sean may have not committed any actual sin, if he's like all the rest of us, it won't be too many years before he will. But there is a grace that is at work. There is a grace within the church that says, even though he has no cognitive knowledge, even though he has no psychological memory of his baptism, even though he cannot intellectually assent to it, the church says he is a part of one of us. This tiny child is being brought in as a tiny fragment together with our fragmented souls. And together within the grace and unity of Christ's holy and apostolic church, he is bringing about a unified whole. For it is here, even as small as we are, we represent corporately, collectively, the body of Christ. Christ the Passover, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us, was broken so that you and I may once again be made whole, to be human again, as God had intended. Let us give thanks for this gathering of fragments, that we may be truly the church, the body of Christ, full of grace and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.